Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to What Women Want with Amy and Annette. Hello and welcome to the show, What Women Want, where I and some great comedians look at the misadventures, misunderstandings and misogyny involved in being a woman. Consider this your podcast equivalent to a little doggy to whom you confide your daily misadventures. For example, I can confide that I sometimes pretend to be on the phone when I walk past charity people. And that's one thing, but another thing I've noticed is that recently I'm saying the same weird pretend script to myself as I walk past, and it's this quite passive-aggressive thing. I'm saying, well, if that's what you want, is it? It's revealingly dramatic. In this episode, we are looking at what women want is to be happy. We recorded this episode back in October 2017 at the Soho Theatre. I'm joined by many people's ideal dinner party guests, and who could blame them? Mae Martin, Bisha K. Ali, and James Acaster. Let's join them now to find out what women want.
Hello.
Amy and Ed.
So nice. So today we're going to be talking about what women want is to find their bliss. Lovely. I try to find a sort of like Cosmo magazine style way of getting into what I think are a misconception, misadventures around what women want. And so I thought find their bliss kind of takes us to self-care and to happiness, two fun subjects. I've had a lot of conversations, and I don't know if this is like a specifically London thing or whatever world I'm in thing, where people keep talking to me about crystals. Guys? But like seriously. So where I would be like, yeah, crystals, ha ha ha, but they're very pretty. You know, I'm not anti-crystals, sure. People are talking about self-care and healing in these like very specific ways about crystals mostly. I'm kind of obsessed with the crystal aspect of it because I think it sort of represents a sort of new agey thing that has come around again. And I had to suppress my inner eye roll so many times before I realized that I think maybe what these women who I was talking to are specifically grasping for is a language with which to talk about their self and their need for healing, basically. So that's right, guys. I took a funny thing and I made it very sincere. It's the Amy and Ed guarantee. Yeah, it's very good. I see what's going on here, guys. So I was thinking a lot about it because we keep having these conversations, and my boyfriend and I would go to these dinners, and he would be like, I don't think I'm meant to be part of this conversation, because we'd be like, and have you read Eat, Pray, Love? Have you? And that was me, because that's my only reference. And I was like, have you seen Eat, Pray, Love? Because I haven't seen that. But I was thinking about it until, like, to use the words, drilling down into it. And I was thinking a lot of what it means when you talk about what women want is happiness, when we talk about happiness for women especially, what I talk about is finding a place within myself where I control the factors that make me happy rather than living up to other people's standards of what happiness looks like, and trying to balance that and understand even which ones I thought were things that I cared about, but actually I just sort of very, like, really bought in to someone else's idea of what happiness looked like. And I was reading this thing about how in the American Independence, obviously, it says, and I obviously had to write this down, because who remembers these things? Americans remember these things. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But that is a thing for all men. All men are created equal, and all men have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So what does a female version of pursuit of happiness look like, and would it be the same? And have we bought into the sort of this idea of what happiness is? And also, the word pursue is really important. You're not guaranteed happiness, but you're allowed to try. And I think that allowance to try is very new for women. And in history, that sort of idea that women might have a happiness that isn't about caring or isn't about their position in a family or how many children they have is so new and so exciting for us to think about. To talk about it personally, when I was younger, I went back through some notebooks. And like, it is depressing, but it is funny how many times I decided to lose weight before summer at the age of like 11. You know, and you just want to be like, I don't really know any 11-year-olds now, but like, it makes me realize they got some hidden depths, guys. We should be listening to these. I'm looking back at this thing, and it's like every year, and it's like you've got to admire the persistence of my dream. One day I'm gonna do it. And I think I definitely had this sense that like, if I was, I'd be happiness or I'd be good if I lost weight. Like I was young enough not to really understand what I was taking in, but I was clever enough to understand that it was get thin when it came down to it. And I just feel like that's such an interesting like microcosm of how we sort of as children especially, but even as we get older, have these things in us and we're not sure what we really want and what is something we've been told to want. And I also want to talk about crystals again and again and again. But let's first of all go down the line. May?
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I'm 11, so...
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, no problem. My parents are here. What should I talk about? My own
What is the topic, What Women Want, is happiness mean to you?
Well, I was trying to think of like my happiest memories. I think we often remember bad memories more than we remember good ones. Mm. You know, they get flagged up in your brain. But I think my happiest moment was, I find the loss of childhood like overwhelmingly sad. Like I can't believe we're all getting out of bed. I think it's crazy. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like being told when to eat and sleep was so nice, I think. But like just taking away the responsibility of your own happiness. But I think my happiest moment was, I was on a beach, we were on holiday in Greece, and I'd been given the autonomy to go to the beach by myself. Maybe I was 10 with like three friends, and we had these fresh donuts from like a Greek bakery with like the sugar on them, and they were like hot from the... like the hot donuts. And then we were like, we worked up this like crazy appetite, like in the sun and the sea and jumping off this pier into the sea. So it was like a combination of nature, I think, being in nature, donuts. And like also maybe the total absence of any sexuality or sexual, like that, I find that gets me into so many, not sexuality, but like have, you know, love. So stressful, right? So being like prepubescent, I think, you know, that, and then it reminded me of recently I did this like interview with this woman who's an expert on like Scandinavian things, and she's Scandinavian, and she was talking about, what? She was talking about, do you guys know about hygge?
Yeah.
So oh, that's wow. Like a big thing, right? Is we're like reaching for, it, so it's this word that means happiness, I guess, but it's like, associated with I mean, now they're branding it. There's like hygge candles and stuff. But she was saying that a big part of the Scandinavian thing that we're now, I think, reaching for, and publishers are being like, have a book on hygge. The new word is largon.
What?
Have you heard about largon? So it means having not too much and not too little, but just enough. And so, and that's like a principle that she said is in their social services and stuff, like the needs of the many instead of the, like, never taking more than you need, giving back, and so like having just enough, and so you're not wanting.
That's so interesting. I cannot stop but hearing lardons.
Lardons.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
And I was like, but lardons.
Also,
I'm so sorry. Please continue.
When I was like interviewing her too, she kept going. I kept going. So, hygge. I was like, could. And then she goes, you don't have to, I can't do the accent. She was like, you don't have to do hygge in your home with your, you could do hygge in a tent. You could hygge in the rain. And I was like, could you hygge on a train? And she was like, yeah, but she didn't know that the joke I was making. So I felt bad. I was like, would you hook it on a boat? And she was like, yes. I was like, with a goat? She was like, yes. But that's, I mean, they seem to get it right over there. But yeah,
cool. Thank you. That's great. Yeah.
I'm clapping myself. Oh, also, I have a crystal in my bag. One small quartz.
Which one?
Nothing crazy.
Rose quartz?
No, regular quartz.
Regular, okay.
I don't even believe it. I just have it in case.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. James.
Hello. I was raised Christian, so I wrote off being happy a long time ago. Not happy. Yeah, but that has affected it. Like, actually, this year I've been talking about it a lot more, especially, like, with my family and people like that, and how I didn't realise until this year how much I have been, I don't know, it's conditioned a big word, but, like, whenever I feel happy, the instant feeling afterwards is guilt straight away. So that's mainly what I do. So if I feel happy about stuff, and I didn't know where it came from until this year when I realised that that's what I do, and then every time I go home, I go, ah, oh, this is where it comes from. Because, like, I was chatting to my mum and, like, telling her, like, I've been buying all this new music recently and, like, really getting into new music for once, not just going back to the old stuff. And it's really fun. And, like, I'll go to bed and I'll just, like, listen to loads of stuff online and I'll buy it and I'd probably, you know, pay for it and download it and put it on my computer. And then she was like, oh, great. And then as I went up to bed, she went, don't spend too much money on music. I was like, I'm 32. And I just told you a thing that makes me happy. And you'd be like, it's a bad thing now. Before you go to bed, think about the money you're spending. You should have a mortgage. No, I'd sleep well. And it was like that kind of thing. And you realise it comes from that. And a lot of it, like, also I had another chat with my mum where I said, that I've realised lately that whenever anything happens, like if anything bad happens in my life at all, my instant reaction is, that's me and that's my fault. And my mum's first response was, yeah, I think you get that from me, I think that's me. And I was like, yes. She's just done that. So yeah, I don't really know. I think I used to think that I'd be happy if I was in a relationship and I was in love with someone. And I've had to kind of like recently go, oh no, you're not. That doesn't make you happy. You get really stressed in those situations because you're trying to make it good all the time, and you're trying to get it right, and that's impossible. So that's not the thing either. And actually, I think recently, letting go of all the pressures to be happy all the time has not made me happier, but definitely made me more chilled out about being sad constantly.
That's great. There's something funny about us laughing at that. Yeah, yeah. Something we're like,
that feels better than what. That bit of silence, I wouldn't be able to take it.
Yeah, that's true. That's so interesting. Thanks, James. Bishop?
Hi.
Hi.
Just your story about reading through your notebook really reminded me of when I had this distinct thought growing up. Where I was like, it's okay that you look the way you do now because you'll sort it out by the time you're 16. Like every 16? Year. Yeah, I was 11 years old and I was like, at 16, you're going to be thin as fuck. You're going to smash everything. And then, like, when I was 17, I was like, I can't believe I was 16 last year. I put a lot of pressure on myself. Make it 18. And now I'm 28, and I'm thinking, like, 30, I'll be thin. Like, it'll be fine. Or I won't care anymore, like, one of the two things. And now I pretend to not care, but I can't pull away all of the, like, the bad juju that we're all layered with. So I just realised I was pointing at everyone's bad juju. Like, I'm supposed to not care how I look, and I'm supposed to not care about certain standards that are ingrained in me. But I feel like I'm trying really hard to pretend. I'm being real honest, guys. I'm trying really hard to pretend that it doesn't, like, upset me, but actually, like, it totally does. Like, every day I would think, oh, it's a mirror, let's not look at that. Jokes. Jokes. I'm really confident and love myself. I think a lot of it comes to do with my family as well, because they haven't had self-esteem. Like, it's just not a thing they like to develop in their children, because then you'll get ideas about leaving the house and living a full life. So my parents are hyper strict. They're like, don't leave the house because of the outside demons and pregnancy. And so I stayed indoors a lot, and that was a lot of how they... Basically, I'm the victim of a lot of child abuse, guys. Let's rip it open today. And also, I think, on a side note, going away from child abuse for a second, the crystals. See, I wonder if a lot of the stuff, like the Higgy stuff, like the Hygge stuff and the crystals, I feel like a lot of this is like a Western construct where we're like, we can't figure out how to be happy, so let's buy it. Yeah. So I'm not to poo-poo on the crystals.
Hey, poo-poo on my crystals.
And one time, another... I will. I used to live in Saudi Arabia, and my parents would be like, to be happy, here are family trips, and that's when assigned happiness happens. Like, outside of that's not allowed. And one of the assigned trips that we went on, my mum and me and my dad went and found, like, crystals and diamonds in the desert. So they drive you to the middle of the desert, and then you go out and you'd find the rocks, and then you'd pay the jeweler to refine them, and you'd have a crystal out of it. So what I'm saying is, like, you just find them in the sand. Shit. Crystals are shit and pointless. Thank you and good night. That's it.
Thank you. So now I'm going to ask you some questions. My first question is, I want to talk about, to address the comedian angle of it first. So I think as comedians, you have to be propelled to some extent, if not by ego... if not by self-worth, then by ego. Very much the other way around. Like, there has to be a thing that... I know when people say, like, comedy is so brave, like, it doesn't always feel brave when you're on stage. Sometimes it just feels like that's the thing that you would wanted to do, you know, or that's the thing that you had to do. But do you feel like... How do you deal with that when an aspect of you sort of presenting yourself as this is the thing I do is having other people tell you whether or not you're right, a.k.a. laughter in an audience?
Self-esteem firing squad?
Yeah.
Hello?
Pop up. I wanted to ask you each, like, as performers, do you feel like, because as a performer, you're in conversation with the audience, like, you're asking an audience, you're like, do you like this? And hopefully they go, we love you, and everyone in your life loves you too. Guys, please? No, I'm joking. but, you know, like, there's a conversation there, and there's a tick, like, that's all to do with happiness and confidence and success, I think.
Biochemical level. Yes. When you perform, I mean, for me, I think, I don't know if I have the healthiest relationship with it, because it's the only thing that's ever made me really happy. but it is what's happened. They talk about, like, the high of performing, and it's just, it's dopamine and pleasure chemicals and endorphins and adrenaline being released in your brain. And I think that levels off over the years, but, like, that's felt like a very real thing for me, like, and being present and, that's not what you asked, but
it
makes me happy, I think. Even when it goes badly, because you get, I think that high is a thing.
I guess I don't always, like, feel happy when it goes well either, but, like, it's,
Wait, none of us are happy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And none of you are either?
Yeah. I find if I have a personal goal with it, then I'll feel happy after a gig, no matter how it goes. So, like, if, like, I go on and I just want to say this one routine and get it out there for the first time, and then if they're, you know, if they go for it or if they don't go for it, then I'm pretty happy afterwards that I just said it and I did it. But if I'm just doing stuff like this year, I didn't really write any new material, so I was just doing old stuff all the time, so there's no new goals, and I really hated a lot of my gigs, and also, like, if I've just come out of a relationship, which happened earlier this year, then I associate that, like you say, the audience going, they like you or not, is too heavily tied into having a breakup, and I had to have a break, so I was literally going on, and they were, it was like a rejection thing all over again. Then you come off and go, well, this is really clearly linked to that, and I can't do this every night, so I think... Yeah, it's good. If you're in a happy place anyway, then it's a fun thing to do. But if you're not, it's not the answer. And it's not going to make you feel better, I don't think.
Yeah.
Counterpoint. I feel like when everything's shit and everything else sucks and everything's failing, like, I'll never feel happy overall with my career as a trajectory thing. But when I'm on the stage, I'm like, this is good. I could do this forever. Like, nothing else. I think it's just I'm fooled by my own chemistry. I'm like, this is delightful. Everything else sucks. Like, as soon as I get on stage, the world could end. That's fine.
Yeah. My whole family's in Canada, so I see them, you know, really what Christmas is like a benchmark every year where they establish whether you're doing okay and happy or not. Because I see them for like 2 weeks in the year. And it's just funny, the questions they ask are always, yeah, are you in a relationship? Mm-hmm. Are you, yeah, how as well is your career going? Like, there are these things that it's, yeah, it's a stressful kind of Q&A every year. And you're like, not even your immediate family, like the cousins and stuff being yeah. like, mm-hmm. it's like...
No one ever, when I'm single, no one ever asks me for in a relationship, but when I am in a relationship and I come back, all my family come up to me and don't hold back and go in, oh, thank God, we were all so worried about you. And you're like, you know that this is going to end, right? Like, we all know it's going to end again, and then you have to go pretending that I'm fine. Like, yeah, yeah, like that'll happen. And then we break up and they go, house comedy? Yeah.
That's a generational thing too, though. I think like our parents' generation, it's being in a stable relationship is huge for them, whereas we're a bit more like, I mean, everyone I try to date now is like, I'm polyamorous. Maybe they just don't want to date me. But yeah. You know what I mean? It seems yeah. like less important to our generation.
Yeah, I think those sort of the goals that people have, in fact, that's my next question. So great. I would like to know what you think, not necessarily your goals, but what you think just a couple of capital G goals are for people growing up. Like, what is a traditional or maybe even non-traditional, but what are those things you have to hit?
Mine was get thin and fuck shit up.
Fuck shit up.
My entire goal.
Mine was be cool, get laid.
The best albums ever.
Oh, of music, yeah.
Yeah, I always wanted to get a band and make one of the greatest albums of all time. That was where the list ended. That was it.
So none of those are...
Good.
No, they're...
Healthy goals.
So if you guys could leave, I have some issues I need to know. I actually really like all those goals because at least they're specific, like maybe not all of them, but they're specific and they come from something about you and utilising yourself. They're not things like get married by a certain age, have a house by a certain age. I was talking with my cousin about another cousin of ours, and we were talking about how that cousin was like, yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm 30 and I've hit all my goals. 2 children, a stable job, and happy marriage. By 30. And she'd done it. Oh, she'd done it. And I was watching, listening to her being like, what I realize is a bit like when you eat junk food and you really need everyone else in the room to also eat the same junk food.
Yeah.
As you. I really need everyone else's goals to be as undefined and as weird as mine.
Yeah.
Like I should be so happy for this person I am related to. But instead I'm like, God, why couldn't you just want to maybe do a show at Soho Theatre one time? Just one time, you know.
I had this one friend at uni who she had this action plan, like she'd written it down. And she was 18 at the time when I met her. And the action plan was 22, meet the guy that I'm... by the end of uni, meet the guy that I'm going to marry. 22, marry him. By the time that I'm 32, have 2 children and have quit my job to start my own business. And she's done it. Like, she's on track. Wow. Babies are coming next. And I want to say that she never seemed happy to me. She's straight up the happiest person I know. Like, she's constantly just beaming, like inner like radiation of joy and love from her heart constantly to the whole world.
Yeah.
And my goals were just like figure out how to be happy by the time I die. That's my only. Yeah. That's all I want.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about. Work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So my next question is, like, you guys are in, this is more about career now. You're in, like, a non-traditional career. And I think by that I mean you don't have to do the morning commute. For me, that is what equals a job. So you're not in, and like, I think a lot of people think that that sort of freedom would equal the sort of happiness that they desire when they think about it. And I know there's lots of converse things about sort of routine and having that space to be, you know, as we talked about, told what to do, yeah. Sometimes very nice. I wanted to know if you feel like it's the freedom of your career and it's that sort of, does that bring you happiness? Is that part of the reason you did it? That sort of thing?
I think I thought it would, I was definitely too scared to do other stuff. Something is more that the alternative scared me too much. And when I did day jobs in kitchens and offices and stuff like that, I felt like I can't do this and that was too scary to do that. And I definitely like the freedom of this job, but it doesn't make, I've literally had conversations this year with my agent and my family as saying this doesn't make me happy and I need to stop doing this. Mm. And I haven't stopped doing it because I've given myself time off and go, okay, I was just too stressed out. But I was like, there was a point this year where I'd gone to, here's what I'd done. This is a very depressing list of stuff. It was meant to be really good. It meant to be really exciting. I was going to go to America and go on TV for the first time. Yeah. Right? Went there, did it, died on my ass, went really, really badly. No one laughed at me. It was really embarrassing. Half an hour later, I shat myself in a steakhouse.
Yeah.
It's just a legitimate thing that I did. And then came out and my agent was eating a steak and I said, I've shat my pants, we need to go. And he was like, we're not leaving. I got a steak and I wanted to stay. And I had to sit there. I had cleaned myself up by this point, but still wasn't happy. And I said to him, I'm really unhappy in my career. I just think this is too much for me, and I'm not really enjoying any of this. And he was just eating a steak and going, mate, it's great. Look at the bright side. You've got a steak. And then I was just at home, and I had food poisoning for days. So I was just in my room, just speaking to my parents on the phone and just being like, I don't really know why I'm doing this or so putting myself through this, because actually it's not like... It is a job of freedom when you're going around just doing whatever you like all the time. You're alone and you're putting yourself on your own all the time. And so when stuff like that does happen, you shit your pants. You have no one around to literally just be like, this is, laugh with you about it, or just like look at the bright side of it. You're just like, this is fucking depressing. So like, yeah. I think it's a plus and minus.
Well, I think that's an interesting thing because it's like, I think as a comedian especially, like you're a version of yourself on stage. So your happiness is now the business of everyone in your team. You know, like there are people whose life, like their 9-to-5 is based around your personality, and that can be quite a lot of pressure.
I think I can relate, and I think it's like finding, I mean, I've never shit my pants, but
up to you.
Up to you.
But it's like finding a way to... It's also such a vague and open-ended career, and there's so many different iterations of it and paths you can take within it. So finding the one that... I'm on tour right now. It's my first tour, and I hate it. I don't think I'm going to do it again, touring. But that's okay. I don't have to, really. Mm. I just don't like being on my own and being on the train and being in a... And I kind of thought it would be totally different. I like the shows, but I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I've got 12 dates left, and then I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to... Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I would go and do a week somewhere, but going, like, a different city every night is not... Mm. It's not great. Some people love it, but that's okay.
Yeah. And there's no, like, right way to do a comedy career. That's another thing that I think can be both exciting and quite scary.
Yeah.
I feel like the fact that it's not a 9-to-5, it's just... I couldn't be happier. I feel like I'm being really mean right now. But right now, I feel like... In my life, I could not be happier. I'm just the happiest I've ever been.
Yeah, that's so nice. I really want you.
You're ending the happiness by applauding my happiness. Like, don't do that. But I genuinely feel just because everything I'm just doing, like, we get to tell jokes. Fuck, I know it's so basic, but we get to like tell jokes and make people laugh. It's so like nice. And I get to write, and then that's all going well, and things are going on the up there, and if something falls flat, it's not a big deal. There's more where that came from. And then I'm in, like, a happy, healthy relationship that makes me feel really free. And it's great. I think this career is the best thing.
I'm so annoyed that there's more
I'm
time
so
left.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry about it.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No, but don't not be sorry because I know what's going to happen to you.
I also feel like
so threatening.
Enjoy this.
You but, say that, no, but I feel no, like no. all the horrors of like my life from like 0 to 18. So much bad stuff was happening that I'm like, I said this to somebody else recently. I was like, I feel like nothing worse can ever happen to me. And then she was like, you're wrong. It will get worse, but I just feel like it won't.
That's so interesting to me, hearing that you've had such shit times this year and stuff, because it is such a weird job, because I've seen you perform this year, and you've brought me so much happiness. Like, I've been in the audience laughing so hard, and I don't laugh at anything, and, like, especially when you're, like, and seeing you when you're, like, in the moment on stage, and you're so good at improvising and stuff, and it's, yeah, so that's so interesting.
Thanks, mate.
No, it's true.
My happiest memories of doing stand-up was when I realised it was going to be my job, and when it just clicked over to that, and it was me and Widdicombe were both in Leicester, and he had just won a competition, and I just got a tour support with someone with Josie Long, one of my favourite comics, and we just were like walking in. It was early in the morning. We're just walking around and just saying to each other, "This is our jobs now. This is going to be our jobs." And it felt really. I mean, I didn't know that was as good as it was going to get, but I felt really happy walking around. I think those kind of moments where you do kind of. It's those things that seem out of reach, like, oh, that'll never be my job anyway, I'm just imagining it, or just, like, it's just nice to think about. And when you do reach those things, which you can do in stand-up, that are goals that you don't put too much of your hopes on, but you would like to do, and they are attainable, and when you do, like, reach those kind of hurdles, milestones, then, yeah, I think for a morning at least, walking around Leicester, you feel happy.
But that's an interesting point that I hadn't thought about covering, which is, like, actually, as stand-ups, you're... job is to bring people happiness to an extent. Like, people come to comedy very specifically to be happy. Yeah.
But it seems like when we talk about it, it's like, this makes me happier. I realized I wanted to, like, it's very, but yeah. Mm. And it's funny because you'd think it would be. But that is a huge part of it. That's, I mean, it's so nice. That is so nice.
The connection, maybe.
You want to, I'm like, I think too often, maybe for quite a long time, I kind of like almost took that side out of the equation and forgot about it, and it's like other people and their days and what they've been up to and how they're feeling, and like, you know, if I could see the audience, like, this is perfect, I can't see any of you and it's really nice, but like when you can see their faces, it is nice. I don't want to see a single
in,
one
very
of
lovely.
You like, because when you can see people's faces, it's all like, when I'm watching anything, I watch it like this, whether I'm having a great time or whatever it is, and like when I see that person in the audience, I just, like, in my head I'm going, why the fuck are you here, mate, what the fuck, and like that's instantly what I feel is that. And like sometimes, you know, on a bad day I have literally lashed out at that person and been like what's your problem, and then had a go at them, and then you don't realise until you're on your way home, like, oh, they're you though.
Yeah,
they're you as well.
I've been
they're having a bad time.
A professional comedy goer for long enough now that I now watch all comedy shows like this. Not arms crossed, smiling eyes. very good comedy. Because you don't realise when you're in the audience, like, how people can sort of see and like read you that way. So I wanted to talk about slightly non-comedy things and more about I guess body in general. We sort of touched upon it. I always think, like, the female body in particular, but bodies in general really are where we spend, like, a lot of our politics and the way the culture feels about people is shown. How we treat people, how we look at people, how we label people. When you're talking about, when you have to talk about feminism, you also have to talk about how intersectional feminism shows us that, like, different women experience, and not just women, different people experience different levels of discrimination, and you have to understand everything within that package of, like, so, you know, we're experiencing different things. When I feel like I'm confused by crystals as a version of happiness, someone somewhere else is going to be dealing with much bigger issues, you know. And so there has to be a conversation of feminism that grows from feminism, but grows from crystals, but also makes this sure there's space for other people to talk. And so I wanted to talk about how you feel like, instead of saying, are you happy with your body? I want to ask you if you have a happy body. I'll answer first. So I think the difference between that question is that, so if I think, am I happy with my body? Probably not, like, just to be real, just normal human beings. But do I have a happy body? Yeah. You know, I get from A to B. I've only shit my pants once in my life, you know, same as James, in the same level.
And, good friend, when I shat my pants, you shared that story with me.
And my immediate question was, and what do you do with the pants? Because you can only know that that's the follow-up question if you've done it yourself.
It's a really funny chat, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome, James. I've got a lot more stories. No, I don't. Just one. Maybe? No. I wanted, because I know you talk about in your stand-up shows about like neural pathways and how the sort of elasticity of the brain affects things. I wondered if that was something you could bring.
I've been just learning about it recently, about things you can do to affect your actual brain chemistry and stuff. I mean, we know exercise boosts like pleasure chemicals in the brain, and like doing new things all the time means that you're constantly forming new neural pathways, so then it's harder for your brain to form like ruts and habits. So, and that could be even like, we can have habitual emotions, right? Like oh, I constantly feel ashamed, or so, and you're it's not that you do, it's that your brain's getting used to feeling that way and going to that place, or anger, like you can get it sort of addicted to going from like 1 to 100, and so doing new things is good, and crystals, and yeah. I go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I like, that's one thing I do for myself. I don't know.
Yeah, that's. I was going to ask about, do you have any sort of self-care rituals that you do? And before you, it's, I know it often sounds a bit new agey, but actually when you look at feminist theory, actually self-care, as Audre Lorde said, is a form of self-preservation, which is part of warfare, which is that you need to protect yourself, especially if you're someone who is routinely attacked, which I wouldn't necessarily say I was, but you need to have a space within like a care for yourself, which is about, and also it's about removing yourself from being carers or being people who are people who rely on. It's about taking a space just for yourself. Do either of you have sort of self-care things? Any of you?
I was going to answer the last question.
Please do both.
About having a happy body. And I've been thinking about this, because I genuinely, when I said earlier that I feel like I'm the happiest that I've been in a long time, I feel that way very much about my physical body as well, where I'm like, yeah, I would. And it's nice, it's a nice feeling. But then at the same time, the older I get, the more hyper-aware I am of existing in a place where I'm not the norm, so the more aware I am of my race. And that's something that just came with the birthing, right? Like, I came out brown. And it's not a matter of me having a problem with it, but it's just knowing that you're just in a world where you're constantly not, you know? That was very eloquently put. Fisher on Rafe. It's a show. And I think that I'm becoming more and more hyper aware of it, to the extent where I'm like, oh, is this paranoia now? Or is it, oh, no, for sure, this is you. This is you guys. Is something that's more and more in my brain all of the time. And in the current political climate especially, it makes you feel very unsafe. But I also feel super happy. So it's just a nice, just like the good and the sorrow.
Yeah, well, that's exactly that thing we were talking about earlier, about how when we talk about happiness, so often we're talking about success, and that's not necessarily the same thing. Talking about race, is that a thing where you feel like you're, we were talking about labels last time we talked about this, and do you feel like that's something that people have different ideas about what your happiness or your success is?
Yes. You put that very clearly. Yeah, absolutely. But I think even more basic than that, let's like bring it down another level. Happiness, you can't feel happy unless you feel safe. Mm. And if you feel insecure and not safe walking on the streets, then that becomes a whole other...
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about that before.
Yeah, safety's huge. And one thing I've made a conscious effort to do, because I look relatively androgynous, so I get, you know, especially late at night and stuff, I get groups, people shouting stuff at me, and people like to tell me that that I look weird. And I've made a conscious effort, because all my friends are comedians. They're all mostly straight. I mean, I don't have a lot of queer female friends. And so I made an effort to like go to gay nights, and it makes a difference to be in a space where you're not the only one that looks like you, you know?
Yeah. So I want to talk about language as well, because I think there's so much language about happiness and like self-worth.
Hygge.
Huh?
Hygge?
Hygge. Sorry, I shouldn't have gone, huh? Hygge? I think I find it very hard to sort of define myself within sort of happiness. I feel like that's probably a thing that people like, what is happiness? Now, I think the definition of happiness is purposefully vague, because they want you not to know. They want you not to know. They need you to be like, I think it's this, but I'm doing this and I'm not happy, so I'm wrong. I'm the problem. You know, like that, I think it's part of it. And I wondered if you, rather than necessarily defining happiness, which would be, you know, if you want to do it, please, tell me. But also, I want maybe, what when I say happiness to you, what's like an emotion or a memory or a theme, or what does that sort of spark in you?
I think I'm like James, where I've in the past put a huge amount of importance on relationships and love, and so a lot of my like happiest memories are being with someone and stuff. But then when it ends, looking back, it feels a little bit like, oh, I shouldn't have put everything in. So I don't know, but I think the thing about the donuts and my friends.
So it's like a sort of community.
Being present in the moment and not feeling that need and want for something else, but yeah, being content with what you
have.
I haven't felt that since the beach, but yeah.
It's really interesting to me that you can pinpoint that exact sort of moment.
I remember thinking on the beach, this might be the happiest I will ever feel. I remember thinking, remember this moment.
Really?
Yeah, it was a very conscious thing.
How old were you?
Yeah, 10 or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, we've got to be listening to the 10 and 11-year-olds. They are thinking things. Fisher, what does the word like happiness, what does that mean? What does that bring out in you?
I think now that I've started on the path of talking about safety and security, that I'm suddenly unpicking my whole childhood. And it's really exciting for me, not for you guys, but I'm self-actualizing right now, so go with me. When I was 12, we ran away from a really like huge fire that killed like thousands of people, and we were running, and my brother like grabbed my hand and was like, we're gonna do it. And I was like, yeah, he loves me, because he was really mean to me before that. And then we ran, and my parents were really slow and were like, come on, pick up the pace, everyone's dying, hurry the fuck up. And then like a lot of people died, I'm so sorry. And then we got to the end, and there were these trucks, and there was just all this mayhem. And then behind us this like a stampede started, and there was like a tunnel, and the stampede started, and loads of people were getting trampled, but we just got out. And then this quiet just kind of went over everybody. There's just huge quiet. And then like everyone just kind of started hugging. It sounds so cheesy, because we'd made it out from like the danger zone now. We're in like the big plane, we're in the free space.
Yeah, our silence is not us judging you. It's us judging ourselves.
And so we were just here in this space, and then I remember looking at my brother, and we genuinely had never gotten along before. He used to like be physically like violent because he was just an angry kid. And then suddenly like he hugged me, and I was like, just relief, like, oh, we're all gonna live. We all get to live, and this is fucking great. And all these people, I don't know any of them, they all get to live, and this is just so fucking nice. And that was probably my happiest moment.
Yeah.
Gotta stop waiting to go last, because like
James, you gotta get in there, man.
Follow everyone dying.
Where was the fire?
So my parents took me to do Hajj, which is like a pilgrimage for Muslim people, and part of the thing is you have to camp in these tents, and this is in 1995 or 98, I can't remember which one, I should probably know. And they hadn't redone the tents yet, so it was a desert with tents and wood, and people making open fucking fires, and like hundreds of thousands of people were there, and then the fire spread like that, and that was it.
Wow.
And it just went, so that's where it happened.
So when you were saying that you deserve your happiness. Yep.
I feel like I've earned it, guys.
Yeah. Yep. I wanted to briefly talk about relationships, but not just...
Sorry.
Yeah, I thought when you said, I don't want to go last, you went, don't come to me.
No, I got happy
stuff. Okay, I want to hear it.
I have been thinking about this a lot recently. I think this is because of my upbringing in churches and stuff. So my happiest memories are when it's huge groups of people who I don't necessarily know all of them either, and it's that making that connection with like a room full of people or whatever, which I don't know, maybe that's why I do stand up, but I've never achieved that. But like, it's that thing of like feeling connected to everyone. And I did a gig the other week, and I had no material, I had to do an hour, so I kind of just was writing stuff that was memories of times where I felt like that. And it was all in the same year, and I didn't realise until I've written them down. But there was one, in 1999, there was an eclipse that I went to watch with my family, and it was a field full of people all watching the eclipse at the same time, and it felt really amazing. And I felt connected to everyone in the field, including this kid who we'd spent the whole holiday with called Edmund, we really hated him. He was a really horrible little kid, and I had to listen to him he got Harry Potter read to him every night. But it was like before the audiobooks and the films, when people were calling her Hermione and stuff. And it was like, I was listening to that. But I hated that kid. And like, I remember seeing the eclipse, and then after the eclipse, like, actually liking that kind of thing. It was cool, so we'd had that. Manchester United won the treble that year, which I have not followed football since then. It was the last year I followed football, but when they won, my house had got flooded that year. We'd moved into a smaller place without a TV, and then we went to this working men's club to watch the football, me and my dad did, every time they were playing. And it was full of people who weren't necessarily Manchester United fans, but they were all just like supporting that team, because it was the English team in the final. And it was like, for those of you who remember it, it was probably the best game ever. And they scored right in the last minute. It was incredible. And all me and everyone in that room, who I'm pretty sure I have nothing in common with outside of wanting that team to score a goal, was really happy and celebrating together. And that felt great, just anyway.
Well, that's great, because that nicely brings me to my sort of final point and thought, which is that I wonder if so much of the attention on happiness is about how you feel, how you compare to other people. And we've been talking about how that should be something that you do keep not separate to other people, but something that you should make a decision on your own, make sure they're your own decisions. And I personally think that feminism, for me, has become a bit of a lifeboat in that regard, because it sort of gives me a break, a moment to think, like, I'm feeling these things, but is it me, Amy, who is it's a problem here, or is it just everything that I am that I can't control? And I think that's a really important thing when you're like dealing with, when you feel like you're less than or you're not quite achieving. Often it's, you know, I think also it comes down to, like, if you're worried about walking down a street and you feel stupid about that weirdness, and you're like, why do I feel, you know, you get, it's also internalized. And like, say what you like about capitalism, very good at getting it to be your own fault. Like, say what you like about the man. He is great at his job. Like, the amount of stuff I've realized I've internalized. And so I think feminism for me has been a sort of space just to like take a break. Not necessarily to fix all of it, but just like a moment of peace. And I wonder though if like the sort of the community spirit, that's what you're talking about. It's actually the sort of the collective nature of community that sort of actually makes you happy. Like when it's about other people, but not about what other people think about you. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think having people around you who make you feel like you're not crazy and you're not like just falling apart and it's just like, it's just you is really important all the time. Like, yeah, the amount, it's like, yeah, you know, if you have had a shit day at work, you come back, you don't need someone to problem solve for you, you just need someone to go, yep, that's really shit and I felt like that as well and that's all I need ever. And then you go, yep, cool, I'm not. Because otherwise, I just feel like I'm the one who can't cope and this is all too much.
Yeah,
yeah, that's why comedy is nice sometimes as well, because you say the things that you're insecure about and then a room full of people are like, me too.
Yeah.
That's nice. But also doing good for others makes, and worrying about other people's well-being, I think. But then was that episode of Friends where they're like, is there any such thing as an altruistic act, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good question, because doing good makes you feel good. So is it?
Is that in Friends?
It was in Friends. Phoebe's debating, is that right?
Yeah.
I wish I brought that up earlier.
I think on a really basic level, what that is just a recognition of your own humanity and the humanity of others. And then you put that all together and you're like, we're a bunch of humans.
Oh my God, and animals though. Let's not forget, how good are dogs?
They're the best.
Like, we don't deserve them. And they're like angels on this earth.
Yeah.
And they don't have any ego. They don't want anything except you. And like, they're such idiots. And that's,
You know, on a podcast where they like pull out a phrase to be the title, I think,
how good are dogs?
Let's not forget dogs. We'll definitely be up there. And I hope, and this is, I know, once again, the sincerity thing, I should have given you a warning. Very sincere. I'm half Canadian, please. Thank you. Co-signed. And I just hope that, like, you know, in this room, there's a lot of people who've obviously chosen to be here. So worth when the lights come up, turning around, shaking a hand, seeing if you want to be friends with anyone here. If you don't, yeah, that's fine. I won't take it personally. No, I think like we can build a community around these things. And like the idea of having a conversation like this on that's recorded, that people come to, that people engage with, is not about finishing when the lights come up, but about sort of keeping this conversation going and making it, like, we didn't have time to talk about, like, Weinstein, and I'm kind of glad we didn't, but because it's, you know, it's everywhere, and not every conversation needs to be about a guy who was an assaulter, but there is a space for thinking, like, if conversations are like this are happening, maybe it will be easier for people to come forward earlier. I'm not saying the fact that I talked about my childhood diaries is, like, a big, important thing, but actually all of us have these stories within us, and they are worth something. Whew. Thank you very much for coming. I would like to clap you.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you very much for coming.
Are we any closer to finding out what women want? I don't know. I'm not a linguist. Thank you so much for listening. I would adore it if you would rate, subscribe, and share. It all makes such a difference in my ongoing journey to top Mel Gibson when you Google what women want. Thank you to producer Zach Annette and to radio legend Shola Aleje for her help. Music is by The Artisans via Jamendo Publishing. What Women Want is off to Edinburgh this year. We're going to be at the Pleasance for 6 dates, Saturdays and Sundays in August. Head to the Pleasance website, get your tickets. Oh boy, I would love to see you there.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.